My name is Bubba Boyd, and I'm a recovered crystal meth addict and alcoholic.
Amen.
I've been sober since May the 12th, 2008, and I don't know how that happens. I don't know how a guy that can't not drink or can't not shoot dope just makes it a little over. I'm well into my seventh year, by the way. I don't know how you get that far in your seventh year without not taking a drink. Or better that, not thinking about taking a drink. And that's the true testament to this program and what the power of God can do and how He can take a guy like me that cannot drink and remove that thought from my mind. Hey, the book says it does not exist. And you know what? That's my experience. It does not exist. It's never been an option for me, no matter how bad my life's got over the last year or 6 years. See, life don't ever get bad, by the way. It just looks like it gets bad from my viewpoint. But no matter how bad things seem like they get for me and the trials and tribulations I go through, that thought just doesn't exist for me, man. It's just not there. I think what happens, by the way, I guess the X Games either sold out or I'm a bigger draw than him because they got the house full tonight. I like a big crowd, by the way. I'm just going to let y'all know I like a lot of people coming here. I wasn't liking it a while ago when I got here. I got a little bit nervous for about 53 minutes worth. But I knew that when I got up here, everything was going to be all right. It's the same way when I was a kid. I used to ride bulls. I like to try to say I used to ride bulls for a living. I never really made a living, but I got on a bunch of bucking bulls my whole life. I got the belt buckles to prove it, but I didn't make a living, by the way. But it sounds better if I say I used to ride bulls professionally. When you ride bulls for money, and they pay you, right? The ego in the way there. I like to say that because I always the problem is with people like me, I'm always scared to death. I'm always scared to death. And I used to be so scared to death to nod my head. And by the way, when you nod your head, that means they open the gate. Up until that point, I'm talking trash all the way up to that point. The cockier I got, the louder I got, the more arrogant I was. What I was really doing, I was backing myself against the wall. I needed to come from a place where it's either this or that. There ain't no maybe I'll change my mind when I nod my head. It was, I got to do it because I said I could do it. Right? It's that cowboy belief system that didn't go along very well with alcoholism. I'll guarantee you that. Actually, a double dose of bad, bad stuff. I can't cuss up here. Marcia's watching me. And the thing about it is, I knew once I got up here and we pulled the trigger, and I got up here behind this podium, things were going to be all right because I was reassured by my sponsor that the people that I was worried about impressing don't need to hear a thing I got to say. Marcia. It's not because she runs this, she's ramrod in this outfit that I say that. It's because she's one of the best AA members I've ever seen since I got sober. We're kind of litter mates. And Jonathan, you still owe me a 10th step. That stuff we do on the phone is gossip. That ain't working. You know a couple guys. That's how we roll. He owes me a 10th step. Because I 10th step with him because Chad was whatever. Sometimes I don't want to talk to my sponsor about some of the stuff I think. So I try to run it by him and he beat me up pretty bad. But these people that I'm so worried about looking good in front of are going to love me no matter how good I look. But there's probably some family member or some struggling dope fiend or alcoholic in this room that's probably who I really need to be speaking to today. See? I was so worried about it that I was nervous at home. I was just going to kick back and I was going to watch the horse win the Triple Crown and everything was going to be all right. And I was going to have a good opening joke about the Triple Crown. And I'm planning this all out. And he didn't win the Triple Crown, so I decided I needed to go into some deep meditation, so I didn't make it. I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get right with God. And I said, God, I'm coming to you like I came into this world. And I believe, and I am what you make me. I am the vessel, the vehicle that I know is going to touch somebody's heart tonight. That maybe possibly might inspire them. Maybe some stuff that I might say might just change the way they look at this program. maybe the energy, maybe the words, maybe the testimony about the freedom I find as because I worked the 12 steps and I live life on the principles based in that book and the principles I learned through the work that I've been taught, right? That y'all teach me. Maybe it's going to change somebody, man. I mean, maybe just one soul gets to live free in this world today. Because I stand here today as free as I'm ever going to be right now. I'm as free as I've ever been in my life right now, right here in this place. Because I'm being used by this power. It's really about who do I trust and who do I serve today. And I'm telling you, it took me 6 years to get here to this place. But it's been an awesome journey. I get to come out. These are my boys over here, by the way. This is the wild bunch. I got a couple new faces. I recognize some new guys. Some of these guys have been in 3 months. I can't remember the name. I come here every other week and talk to these guys. But these are my guys here, and I'm honored to get to be asked to come up here and talk at this place because it means a lot to me to be in this place, named after somebody who means as much to the Alcoholics Anonymous program as Mark Houston does. You know, I'm from that lineage, and you can hear it. You can see it. People that are in that lineage, or people that are in this work because their life depends on it. These are the people that you can see. You ain't got to hear them say. You can. I got a sponsee taught me this. He's sitting right over there. I'm still betting against that guy. He ain't drunk. He ain't drank yet. He says, "Bubba, I'm listening with my eyes." And that's been something that I've taken to meditation. What am I representing as I go up, as I go along my day in this world? And what does it look like? How do I show up today? See, I didn't have any of these belief systems when I got here. And none of this stuff was going on in the Boyd household. None of it. And by the way, it's still not. You know? I'm the guy you gotta bet against. I'm the guy you got to bet against. You look at my family history. You look at my family now. I'm the guy you're betting against. I'm the guy you know can't get sober. I'm the guy that's going back to prison. I'm the guy that's going to shoot dope no matter what. I'm the guy that's going to come to your house and get your stuff. If you're there or you're not. Right? I'm not saying that to make me any worse drug addict than anybody in here. I'm just trying to show you that this is what it looks like today. This is what it looks like today to be a child of God and to carry His vision into all my activities. This is what it looks like. You know what I'm saying? I'll amen myself on that, Cowboy. I promise you. I get fired up about what it's like to live in the presence of my Creator. And it wasn't always that way. I've got a long history of alcoholism in my family, and I'm the only sober member of my family. I got a sister that, I don't know, she don't do dope like I did dope, but she thinks she does. I mean, whatever. I mean, a little bit. Right? She can't even control that little bit that she can afford, right? I got a mother that's 80 years old and is on a quest to drink herself to death. I mean, gets up in the morning and drinks till she passes out. She quit drinking for about 9 years one time because the doctor told her that she had to or she would die. And so I guess she's a hard drinker. Or maybe she's an alcoholic. She might have been a hard drinker then, but now she's drinking like an alcoholic. I don't know how many people ever see an 80-year-old woman smoke one cigarette after another. She smoked 3 cigarettes in 2 minutes the other day. I don't know how many beer tall boys she had. Right? My sister's all still used. They all still drink. I had a sister that's been in prison 3 times. An uncle that's dead now. He's a good man. He's 2 Purple Hearts. Fought Iwo Jima. All that good stuff. Been to Texas Department of Correction. Bastrop Federal Prison, Fort Worth Federal Prison, Meskin Federal Prison, smuggling dope. My dad drank quite a bit when I was a kid, almost to the point where I didn't mind him drinking. I didn't mind my dad drinking right until he had too much. You know what I mean? Because he'd sling that money around when he had just the right amount. And he'd say good things about me and take me a lot of cool places and you know what I mean? I didn't mind him drinking too much until he had too much. Then it got to be embarrassing because he didn't know how to stop drinking. I was born not too far from here in Flugerville, Texas, and I grew up. I went to kindergarten through 12th grade in the same school district. I went to Flugerville when it was 30 minutes from Austin. Hmm. You know what I mean? You can't tell Puerto Rico from Round Rock to Austin. Now it's all one big... When you used to get on a highway from my house all the way to Breaker Lane with barbed wire fences and cows, and I loved it. You know, I was a cowboy. It was pretty crazy back. You know, it's just... I'm an old country boy. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice or not. I'm really making a conscious effort to just articulate my words. Don't worry. You're going to know about it tonight. By the way, I'm one day sober longer than Jonathan Stone. Hey, but I tell you what, I want what that guy's got. And I don't mean his wife or his house or kids. He's got a nice car and all. But I mean, there's some things going on in this universe that I see today, and it doesn't have a whole lot to do with what it looks like externally. I really just need to be okay. When I was a kid, there were three dates. I always mess up, and this thing is no good anymore. This list of things that I was going to go through. When I was a kid, I remember three dates, and then my birthday, right? February the 13th, 1971, that I'm making 43 years old. February 28th, 1982, the first day I ever got on a bull. And the reason why that is because my dad told me he was proud of me that day. And therein lies the problem. And May the 12th, 2008, because now I know my dad's proud of me today. See, the family members in here have been, it's crazy how, I don't know why y'all are still hanging around. I guess you're still hanging around your kids and loving your kids because the same reason why my dad loved me. Because he knew somehow, some way, there was going to be some day that he was going to get to have his son back, and he was going to... And it was a rough gig. My dad, like some of you family members, almost loved me to death. He would never turn his back on me. Never. And I always would go to him, because I knew he would never turn his back on me. And I remember, I'll tell you a little story. It's kind of touching, but I'm going to try to get through it without shedding a tear. I'd rather y'all laugh at me than cry with me. But if we got to cry together to see the lightness of God, then let's just shed the tears, as far as I'm concerned. I know that I'd been going in and out of... I remember one time I was going in and out of Cocaine Anonymous and Alcoholics Anonymous, And we used to say, and my dad would say, just, you know, we'd go there, and I'm thinking, he would say, you just got to try harder. You just got to keep trying. You're the kind of guy that I ain't, that have so much of natural talent in everything you do, there's no way you can lose at anything you do. You just got to try harder. It's the cowboy stuff, man. Just keep trying. Put your boots on. A little tighter. Try a little harder. I know you can do it. I believe in you, son. That's a death sentence for a guy like me. I believe in you, Bubba. You can do anything you want to do. That's a death sentence for a guy like me. It doesn't sound like one at the time. It sounds like, I got this, man. He's right. I can do this. I just got to try a little harder. And so I would go to meet. I went to a treatment center one time because the girl I was living with was going to leave me. I got out. She was already gone. Right, so I made it about 6 years. You know, I mean, you know how you just don't drink one day at a time? You know how you do that? You just don't drink one day at a time. How do you do that? How do you not smoke crack one day at a time? By the way, I smoked crack one time for 6 months straight. That shit, woo, I'm telling you. That broke an egg in me right there. No more crack cocaine from this cowboy. I'll go back to the meth and alcohol. That's a lot easier to control, right? Crack cocaine, bad news for guys. Because there's just never enough of that stuff. You know what I mean? I was quite... But I remember when I would go to those meetings and I would come home and I would hear them talking about stuff like... They're reading the stuff on the wall. I mean, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. And so I'm going to meetings sometimes every day. Sometimes I'm going twice a day. Depends on which stint what it was. Right? The longer the stint got, the more desperate I got for a meeting. The longer sober I was, the more I had to be in a meeting for an hour a day. The only time for an hour I got any kind of relief, so I was going to be at that meeting. Right? And I'm hearing them talk about this spiritual experience or spiritual awakening, and I'm waiting on mine. I'm thinking, if I just keep going, that they all had they're talking about it, right? I believe a lot of fairy tale crap my whole life. I used to go to church and believe that fairy tale too for a while. That somehow, someday, I was just going to poop into wonderfulness. Because I wasn't hearing nothing they're saying, and now or at the meeting. I'm not hearing what I hear now today and the message that I carry today. You're never going to hear me coming no soft and mushy crap in here. Mushy crap in here, man. It's just not going to happen. It's about life or death while I'm here today. See, I wasn't hearing that. I was thinking, I'm going to wait on this awakening and things are going to change and someday things are going to be better. And I ain't cracked a book, man. I'm hearing them sharing in meetings. And I'm picking up on the lingo. As a matter of fact, I'm a pretty good puppet. I'm listening to them. The guy with the patch, the one I'm listening to them. Cause anybody remember cassette tapes? Y'all too young for that, right? And I've got them, and I'm mimicking. I'm actually changing it around to sound like it's an original thought from Bubba Boy. Hey, and you're buying it, homeboy. You're buying it, hook, line, and sinker. And I'm a cool cat up in here for an hour. I'm special. I've manifested myself into this fellowship as some kind of winner until I got to get another desire chip. But I had enough newcomer key tags to start my own beginner's meeting at one time. Right? 17 white chips. We're out of chips. Ask Bubba. He's got some in there. They should just have me pass. I don't think I ever got past 11 months. Right? But I'm hearing you just got to keep going, keep coming back, and just don't drink no matter what. And my dad's saying, I know you can do it, sir, and I believe in you. I know you can do it. I believe in you. And then he says, as smart as you are and as smart as I am, we got to find a way to beat this deal. And you know what? I have me a partner in crime right there. Because, see, my dad didn't call me son. I didn't call him dad. We made a pact when I was a kid rodeoing that we were going to be partners. I needed a traveling partner. Right? My dad, by the way, while he's in the induction to the Texas Rodeo Cowboy Hall of Fame, I got a famous dad. Yeah. And I'm thinking, he's my traveling partner. And we went all over Texas. And he would say Bubba, and I'd call him Muscles, his name. And we'd sit down, and someday, me and Muscles are going to figure out how to beat this deal, man. And every idea we had to beat this deal, man, they were good ideas. Best idea we had in a long time. We're gonna move somewhere. First of all, we're just gonna drink. We're not gonna shoot dope. And I can drink. I don't ever remember not drinking alcoholically. That's the problem. I got a my mom and her dad. From what I understand, the last time they heard of him, he was in alcohol asylum, and that's where he died. Right? I'm genetically disposed to this disease, right? And then I'm driven by all this acceptance. I need my dad to be proud of me. I need y'all to see me a certain way. I'm wearing cowboy clothes. I'm going places. I'm trying to be conformed to this external world because it makes me who I am. I tried my whole life to be somebody I wasn't. I didn't want to be a bull rider. I'd rather be a baseball player. But I couldn't bat, and I couldn't catch, and I couldn't throw. Hey, but it looked like a good gig to me, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm always trying to be something that I really wasn't. Matter of fact, I didn't know what I was, but I knew what it looked like to y'all would make me whole today. I needed acceptance. I needed my dad to be proud of me. I needed y'all to think I was something. And if I could pull it off, right, I could, right? It's like what I heard a talk the other day. It says, I'm not my thoughts, but I think I am. The minute I identify with my thoughts, then I think that I buy into the delusion that I'm my thoughts and that I can think my way through something or I've got a plan. That's the egoic mind, what Tony says. The egoic mind, when you activate it, you know, you can't even turn it off. So we were going to figure out how to beat this deal, and it's just through trial and error. Lots of trial and error. There's just no possible way for a guy like me to not drink. But I figured I would promise him on his deathbed that I was done. Figured I would just, I made that promise. Bunches of them. But I've made that promise before 1,000 times, right? I'm done, right? I'm done. No being done in here. I've been done a bunch. And the problem is, when I said I was done, I believed I was done. I believed I was done. So this time was going to be different because I had to think long and hard before I made that promise to my dad dying of lung cancer on his deathbed. There was that moment, that wonderful brief moment where I get to go in front of my dad in humility and make this vow, this covenant with my father that he's not going to have to die and see me loaded while he goes out. And so I promised him that, and he says to me, "I believe you this time, son. Now I can die in peace." And we're crying, and died the next week. He said, "Go to work. I'll be all right when you get back. Don't worry, I ain't going to work. You made that man a promise that you were going to show up to work, and don't worry about me. Be a man of your word. Be a man of integrity. That man's counting on you. You go to work." Died the next day. 4 months later, it was about 4 months after, whatever. The next week I'm at his funeral and I'm drunk in the parking lot because I can't stand to go in there. I can't stand to go in the funeral home. I can't go in there. I'm hurting. I'm starting to get sick, man. I done lost my partner. I done lost a guy that I'm counting on to help me through this life. That I've counted on my whole life to help me through this life. He's gone. And I can't go in there. And so I'm sitting in the truck and we're drinking cold beer. And I buried my dad, and I was a pallbearer at my dad's funeral because I figured he packed me all over this world when I was a kid growing up, and I could just pack him home. I could pack him one last time. I could be the carrier of him. And I was a pallbearer, and I spoke at his funeral. It's the craziest thing. And 4 months to the day, 4 months to the day that he died, I was in handcuffs and on my way to prison. 4 months. I didn't waste no time. Shooting dope, breaking in. You know how we do. Meth addicts in here, you know. I try to make it. I just give up. I got run off where I was living. My hero, my rodeo hero, living with him, he's running you off. They don't like it when you shoot dope in front of children. And got tired of seeing me beat up. I don't know about y'all, but I get beat up when I get on it. I don't get on it for no 2 or 3 day lollygagging around bullcrap either. I get on it. There ain't no telling when it's going to end, right? When I take the drink or take the first shot of dope or the first hit, I eat it, snort it, swallow it, whatever you got to do with it, whatever, however I got to get it, I get it. And I don't know where I'm going to end up or how long it's going to take. Usually, I like it to take about 2.5 weeks before I sleep. It's my favorite, right? When you start seeing stuff that's not there and you're laughing and all, it's all good, right? Some of it scares the crap out of y'all, but I thought that was kind of the fun part of the deal. Because it didn't matter then. See, nothing mattered at that moment. Didn't care about anything. But nothing real, I didn't care about it. And that's where I need to be okay, you know? And I made a few bad decisions in that 4 months. You know, I don't know. It looks like decisions when you're in the middle of it, but I know now that I was driven through the work, I find that the drink takes me and I do what the drink tells me to do. Because I'm longing for I don't give a crapness. Right? I need to be an invisible man. thought I was a vampire most of the time. Didn't ever go out in the sun, had a motel tan, you know what I mean? I ain't trying to get out there and get that sun on me, you know what I mean? All my stuff goes down in the dark. But I always had a headlamp. I can't figure that out. You can see, you can recycle. I became a precious metal recycle specialist. You know that. I went from champ to chump, right? To junkyard junkie. You know, whatever I could find to take to this recycle place. That's where, that seems to be common with us modern day drug addicts. Anything we can sell that doesn't look like we're stealing, it looks like junk. We're okay with that, right? My conscience don't bother me as bad as if it's scrappable. I tear your TV apart and make it scrappable, and I'm feeling bad when I walk up to the recycle place. You know how it is. I made it anyway. Like I said, I made a few bad decisions along in that 4 months, and I got a felony. Right? Got me a little felony. No problem. Signed for probation. That's a good deal for me, right? That's a good deal. I actually had that felony while Muscles was alive, and we were riding that one on out and going to get probation. I signed for probation, and then 24 hours later, I got another felony. They don't give them out, by the way. I earned it. I set that ball rolling. Woo! So I signed for the probation, right? In my street clothes. Well, they're not really street clothes. They were pretty nasty, but that's all I had. And the next day, I went in front of the same judge and said, I wasn't in street clothes. I was in handcuffs. And he said, Cowboy, we got a place for guys like you. And that's where I went. I didn't get that much time. If I'd have got what I had deserved, I'd probably have a different speaker tonight. Right? And the funniest thing happened, guys, is Muscles died January 12, 2007. And I was released from Texas Department of Corrections, old number 1509297. Walked out the gates of the Texas Department of Corrections Traffic Unit over here on January 12, 2008. And I went, wow. You mean, I said, Mom, I got my release date. Will you look on the obituary? What day did Muscles die? She said, January 12th. And I said, there. So it kind of hit me. I said, I got another shot at this deal. I got one more shot. It was like Muscles was speaking to me. One more time, Cowboy. Get on one more time. Don't stay down. You can do this. And I got out and I moved in with my sister who was sober at the time. You know how when you get sober and you're not living on spiritual principles, how that still looks? It looks like you might as well be shooting dope as far as I'm concerned. And that's where I ended up on a cot in her living room because she loved me and was wanting me to do good. And I remember sitting on that cot going, man, this is not good. I'm not good. I really felt pretty sorry for myself. I mean, aren't y'all starting to feel sorry for me right now? Doesn't it sound like y'all would feel sorry for me too if y'all were my family? Well, I need some pity to be okay. And this is what happens when you go to prison and you pay your debts to society. Oh man, I'm a two-time felon. Actually a three-time felon, but whatever. I forgot about that one or whatever. And I'm like, I ain't slept on a mattress in months. And that was my big complaint. I ain't been on a real mattress in 10 months. And you had a pillow. They don't got pillows where I went. I'm thinking, this is terrible. Army cot. Sober. I'm not happy about it. You ever notice how sobriety doesn't make you happy? I tell these guys the other day, I said, if you're not happy, it's because you don't want to be sober. I did. Sobriety, well, one of my mentors and my grandsponsor said, sobriety is not the cure for alcoholism. It doesn't fix alcoholism. Abstinence doesn't make it go away. Matter of fact, if you take the alcohol away from a guy like me, I don't get much better. I get a little bit irritable. And I get a little bit restless. And I get quite a bit discontent. And that book says that, and I agree with that. That's been my experience. And so I start going to church. Because in prison, everybody goes to church. I think that that's where Jesus actually lives. He lives there. They find him and come out. I mean, that's where they have this deal, right? That's where they're passing out Jesus in prison, in jail, right? I'm going to be reborn up in here. Right? Actually, if you go that way, they won't beat you up or they'll leave you a long time. They won't try to steal your food. So I kind of went that way. And I get out and I'm going to this church. And actually, the craziest thing happened. I was walking from this apartment complex to this other church that was over the way. It's kind of a redneck term. Over yonder way was this church that would send people to the unit that I was on, right? And it would come once a month. And I liked when this guy, he did this Bible verse rap deal. And I thought that was cool, man. I'll go to hang out in that church. It's got to be modern stuff going on there. And I believed in this God that I didn't really know existed my whole life. I believed I was, And I was walking across this parking lot, and it's a long walk in the summertime. And I was a little bit heavier, and I wasn't going to walk there, so I went in this other church. I was going to a church called the Promised Land, and I walked in this other church, and I found the Promised Land. That makes any sense to y'all. I found this sort of recovery group at this church. Sort of. I mean, they're not really working on steps, but they're talking about steps type deal. And I'm thinking, okay, so I'm going to church on Sunday, and I'm going on Wednesday, and I'm going on Friday at this recovery deal. And then I'm trying to get there because I'm looking for something because I know I'm in trouble, man. Because I'm 10 months sober, y'all, and I am hurting. Anybody ever hurt? Don't know why you hurt? I'm not talking about physical hurt. I'm talking about in here. You're hurting. I'm hurting. Something's wrong with Bubba. I know it's not going to be okay. And I know, and this is when I knew I had a problem. Drinking alcohol didn't sound like it's going to fix how bad I was hurt. Shot a dope, but it's going to fix it, man. And that's when I knew I needed something more. I needed something more than going in there on 3 days a week and doing this hymn, haw, hoorah, hoorah. I loved it. For an hour and 10 minutes on Sunday, I'm walking on water up in that place, man. Then I leave there and I'm hurting. Something's wrong with me. And alcohol and methamphetamine is not going to fix what's wrong with me. And I'm desperate for something. And I've been going a lot of meetings. I remember 10 years ago, I was going a lot of meetings. And I said, you know what? Somehow I ended up with a job. Got my first paycheck and I moved into this sober home. I'm not thinking CA right off the bat or AA right off the bat. I'm thinking sober home and some structure might help a guy like me. All right, I need someone to kind of keep my britches between the ditches. You know what I mean? So I do this and I go, and they go, well, we'll just let you. You know how them church people are. And I look, man, the book says where religious people are right and make use of what they have to offer. That's all. And I love church people. I'm still a member of that same church that I walked into on accident. To this day, my pastor is my hero. I'm not trying to badmouth anybody religious. Me and Jesus, we're rocking and rolling up in here. But it's up to you what you believe. I understand, and I usually probably wouldn't say that, but I say what I want to today. It's my experience we're talking about here. And I went and I said, I'm waiting for him to pass, because I've never been to a sober house before in my life. I was waiting for him to give me the green card or the white piece of paper that all y'all pack around that says how many meetings you went to that week. Right? Y'all know, right? When you get the bubble, you sign my card. I don't want to see. You know how we do? I signed a bunch of y'all's cards in here. Y'all know that I didn't put it in the basket. I know y'all. I signed these people's card about half time. Here, Bubba, sign my swing. I put it in the basket. It takes forever to get it out of the basket and all that stuff. You know, so I'm thinking, they go, oh, no, you got to go to the meetings here. All you got to do is go to church and go to the recovery meeting at the church, and we have a Bible study here once a month. And I said, oh, no, that's not. And I said to myself, well, where is there a meeting at I go to right here? Now, I don't know why I'm saying this. I'm saying this because believing in this power is not fixing my problem. Believing in this God is not fixing what's wrong with me. Job didn't fix me. A mattress with a pillow didn't fix me. Remote control for the TV that I could operate didn't fix me. A toothbrush this long didn't fix me, and good toilet paper didn't even touch it, man. You know, I come from that spot. And so I decide to, they tell me, oh, there's a meeting right down the street, Club 101. I said, I used to go to that meeting all the time. Well, it's moved over here, and it's just about 8 blocks or 10 blocks from where I was living in this sober house. Not really, it's not one you're going to find in the sober house listing. It's one of them home, you know, one of them deals that someone in the church was trying to put together. So I caught the bus. And in 10 minutes, I was at this meeting. And I said to this fellow when I walked in there, I've been to Club 101 before. It's funny how the ego just makes it, you know, I'm waiting for someone to remember me. Right? I said some cool crap in there, man. I was like a rock star in there. Y'all think it's bad now. Y'all can see me back then. I was slinging it around in there. Right? And waiting for someone to recognize me, man, and nobody did. And I went to this meeting, and I met this dude, and I said, he said, you must be a crystal meth addict, huh? And, oh, yeah, that's me. Yeah, I've been to prison too, homeboy. State jail, prison, whatever. Got a CDC number, I'm slinging around. All of a sudden, I got that badge, man. I'm cool, man. And I said, and I couldn't even ask him to be my sponsor. I said stuff like, man, let me get your number. I ain't got a phone yet, but I'll get your number. I can call you. We can have a cup of coffee sometime. We can get together and talk about this 12-step thing. Because I don't know anything about the work. Nothing. And he says, and I said, I'll tell you what. I said, I go to church 3 times a week. Right? And he said, look, he said, stop right there, cowboy. He said, your salvation between you and your creator, what I'm offering you is an active participation in the recreation of your life by the application. Who's this sound like? Sound like Mark Houston, y'all? Application of the 12 steps and the power of God in your life to move you places you never dreamed you could go in your life. And I didn't have to crack the book, guys. I was sold on that idea immediately. He sold me. I'm getting goosebumps right now. It sold me. I want some of that. Yeah, I'm your guy. Yeah, hurting that bad and that sounded that good. That's how good that sounded. That's how desperate I was. That don't sound good to half y'all in here right now. I know it don't. But if you're hurting bad enough, it sounds good. Solution lay right out in front of me. Right out in front of me, see? I get to take part in this deal. I ain't waiting for a spiritual awakening. I'm going to work for one. I'm not trying to believe in God. I want to experience God. That's what I need. I don't need to believe in God to stay sober. Because if that was the case, man, I would never got drunk. What I need is an experience with this power to change the way I feel. That's the solution. An experience with God. I'll guarantee you, if you work these 12 steps with the same zeal you... Y'all know what y'all did. And you're out of ideas and you're just desperate enough to seek this power, it changed your life. It changed mine. I'm going to tell y'all what. I met with that guy, and Chad, I done him the same way. I gave him 2 or 3 of these, boys. Sitting in Epochs. What kind of red? I mean, I'm a redneck cowboy just going to Epochs, great car. He's driving a Mercedes. Man. Well, I got the wrong dude, man. You know, my cowboy boots cost more than my car. You know what I'm saying? This dude's driving a Mercedes Benz and talking about God like he means it. But he's turned some statements into questions. I don't know how you get offended by that. Anybody ever get offended by when someone... Yeah. He's actually pissing me off a little bit. Sorry, Marsh. And I'm standing up in this coffee shop going, Hey, man. I thought you were my friend. I thought we were going to talk about recovery. Are you trying to offend me? I'm dead. big bad little boy, son. You better not mess with me. My number's 150-9297, and I'm a cowboy, and I got the belt buckles to prove it. Don't ever talk to me that way. That's not what I'm saying, but that's the belief system driving this remark, and he's offending me. And he says, oh, I'm not trying to. I'm just turning some statements into questions, and what's offending you is the truth about you that you're getting to take a look at. I took that as a challenge. Cowboy likes a challenge. Now, I don't want to get on bodacious, but I like the idea of thinking about it. You know what I mean? And I said to myself, I'm going to work the steps of spite this SOB right here. I'm going to show this guy I can work all 12 of them steps just to show him, just to spite this guy. Tell me I can't. Watch me will. You know what I'm saying? Tell me I can't. Watch me will. And I'll be doggone. I was amazed before I was halfway through. The men's process halfway through. That doesn't mean step six, guys. I know. There's a few things I pound, and that's one of them. The promises they read in the book. That's halfway through the men's process, not on step six. And I started to do some things different. I started to do everything he told me to do, and I was done before he told me to be finished. He didn't have to wait on me, man. Because I was starting to feel something going on. There was something going on. Matter of fact, I wasn't hurting anymore. And I was going to work every day, tired. Come home tired. Catching the bus to that meeting at 6 o'clock. My home group is to carry this message group at 6 o'clock on Monday. An AA group that Mark Usher started in a CA clubhouse. And that was when I would catch the bus there wearing my hard hat and my dirty clothes. And I was sitting at that meeting and I would hear these people talk. And I would listen. And I began to wake up. I began to be okay with going to work every day. And I became employable. And I had some experiences with God that I can't even explain, so there ain't no sense in trying to explain it. It's just an experience with God. And all of a sudden, the desire to drink and the desire to shoot dope was just gone. Mm-hmm. I didn't know when the last time I thought about drinking looked like a good time. I'm working on a construction site with a bunch of people that ain't even straight when they're there. And I'm not avoiding temptation. I'm not trying to maneuver around these folks that I know. I'm just rocking and rolling, man. I'm facing life successfully. And that's a big deal for a guy like me that can't not face life. I mean, and I discovered through the practice of this work that life don't come at Bubba. Life actually comes through me. I'm the manifestation of goodness in my life. I'm the vehicle that makes all the good things happen. If my relationship is right with God, there ain't nothing going to, can't nothing get in my way. Rock, no, you know, such thing as a speed bump. There's a bubble bump. when something happens, it gets filtered through this mind, we're all in trouble. That's why I got a sponsor that I call. Now, I've been calling him a lot lately because this has been, Marsha threw this on me about a week earlier than I thought it was going to be, and I've been nervous to wreck for about 15 days. The problem is, I've known I was going to speak in June for about 5 months, and I've had this thing, I'm going to get all this, see, I'm going to write some PowerPoints down, I'm going to do all this, and I wait till about 45 minutes before it's time to get in the shower and sit down with this piece of paper, and my God. You either trust God or you don't, cowboy, you know what I'm saying? I don't got to do anything. I just got to show up, man. It's been just this last year. I got a driver's license today. Huh? And my driver's license picture, I'm smiling with my pipe. By the way, I used to have some black teeth. And I pay for these babies myself, too. I'm smiling so big in that driver's license picture, and my mom goes, why are you smiling? I said, if you paid for that driver's license, what I paid for that driver's license. You know, 16 surcharges later, I don't have any moving violations. They're all for no driver's license. They're all for no insurance. I got no insurance tickets for stolen vehicles. You know, I just borrowed the car on accident. Don't mind the steering column, just like that when I got in. You know what I mean? And today I got an insurance. They financed me a car. And they loaned me one until my credit got ran. I'm a car thief. They loan me a car. Now I make a car payment every month on time. I got full coverage insurance. Run into me and see what happens. I know it's not a big deal to y'all, but I can be anonymous when I smile now. Nobody knows. I shot dope. Separate out. Probably everybody that knows me knows. Only stranger don't know it. Right? As a matter of fact, I don't mind people knowing that I shot dope and they see me today. I want you to know me back then so you can know who I am today. I'm the kind of guy, man, that does some crazy stuff. I'm a little nervous sometimes. I used to take my face so bad with a pair of tweezers. Anybody do that? I'm probably the only one. Whatever. If you could have flown a spaceship with a pair of tweezers, I'd be an astronaut right now. I could do some stuff with a set of tweezers, man. And I'd look like I've been doing some stuff too. But I worked the steps, man. I got a sponsor. I did what he told me to do, man. And I realized the only place that God is in right now in reality. And if I can just find and stuff like perception versus reality. And I go, what does that mean? And I go, wow, you can't have both. I can't live in my perception and reality because they're not always the same. My job is to align my, to do what's the book say? To carry a vision of God's will into all my activity. And it gives you a quotation that says, how can I best serve thee? That's as close as I can get to what God's willing for me today. How can I best serve God? How can I best serve God at work? How can I best serve God at Benchmark? How can I best serve God wherever at Walgreens? Wherever I go? That's as close as I'm ever going to get to what God's will looks like for me today. And I'm real careful today that I don't pray for things I know the answer to already. Trust your intuition. I've got through working the steps and through the app. And it's just been so amazing that... I'll tell you a story. And then I'll close. About my dad, one more time. I used to think to myself that I wish my dad could see me sober. I know y'all want to see your children sober. I know y'all want to see your children happy like I'm happy. I know y'all want to feel this kind of satisfaction that I know my Father in heaven feels for me today. I know y'all want that. I know y'all want your children, your fathers, and your mothers to see that in you. But my desire was to have my dad see me sober, and a guy named Bob Darrow goes, well, maybe he can. And I said, well, Bob, I'm quite the character. And I said, that ain't going to cut it, cowboy. I said, I want to see my dad see me. Huh? And I didn't throw that one at him. I come up with something for that. He goes, Bob goes, he's kind of arrogant. I like Bob. He goes, well, maybe he can then. Shut me down. I can't pop off now. I just walked away. About 6 months later, I'm laying in bed sleeping because I work for a living and I'm tired. And I had this dream that I get up out of my sleep and I put my dad's Rodeo Cowboy Hall of Fame jacket on. And in this dream, my dad's kind of stunk a little bit. He's an old cowboy. He smoked in Pall Mall Reds. He tore the filter off and smoked them. He just took a bath a couple times a week. He did, he had a certain, we all got a certain, maybe not. Maybe not all dads stink, but mine had a certain smell about it. I sniffed in his jacket. When I looked up, he was standing right there. Boy, in that dream I did like that. Then I sniffed on the right side. And there he was right there. Scared me, right? So then I go, I just put it up. Hey, I'm dreaming this, y'all. I ain't making it up. This is what happened in the dream. And I sniffed the front. And when I raise up, he's standing right in front of me. and I walked to him. And I grabbed him by his big old pork chop ears he had. Big old ears. I used to tell him he got pork chop instead of ears on the side of his head. And I just pulled him to me, and I could feel his whiskers, and I could feel him touching me. And it was so real. As a matter of fact, you can't tell me that didn't happen today. Whatever the mind believes is true, it is true. And I woke up. I woke up from the dream. I woke up from the dream thinking, oh my God, that I got up out of bed because I was tired. I didn't work. And I went to that closet and I put the jacket on. I put the jacket on and I did like this. And I did like this. And I did like this. I didn't see him, but I had saw him, and I had felt him, and I had smelled him. And the one promise that I told Bob Joe that I wanted to see, I got to see my dad see me sober today. See, I see the likeness of God in His work today, and the work that I do, that I'm allowed to receive stuff like this. See, God knows the desires of my heart. All I got to do is keep close to Him, perform His work well, and the things that I want, they come to me. I ain't got to work for... Man, this ain't hard work. This is the dream. I'm living the dream, man. I'm living the dream because of someone carried the message to me, and they weren't telling me it's going to be okay. They told me it's not going to be okay. You're going to die. And I believed them, because I was hurt. See, people die. I buried a sponsee. I buried a sponsee this year. It's a bad deal. I mean, you know, it's not funny when you say you got to kill two or three to get it right, because that ain't a joke to me anymore. But through all this process, I realize that some of y'all are going to have to die so the rest of us don't have to. And now you got this chance. You got this little chance right here at this place where they come at you with some spiritual action. They come at you with some action that you take on your behalf. Not your mama takes and your daddy takes for you. Some action that you can be given so that you can walk free. Free of them and free of this world that owns your butt. That's what the book offers. It ain't promising you a Mercedes. I still ain't got a Mercedes Benz. But some things have come to me. Relationship been restored. I mean, people love me today. And they mean it. And I mean it when I say it. I don't have to say it and then think about it. I say it because I feel it. And life is good. And you ain't got to be special to get sober. I know I look pretty cool in this jacket and this tie. And this is a brand new Tommy Hilfiger shirt I bought the other day. Right? But God don't love me because I'm good. God loves me because He's good. You ain't got to be special to get sober. You just gotta do the work. You got to do the work. You got to do the work. You got to do the work, man. If you don't do the work, you just might die. If you're lucky, you might just suffer the rest of your life, and I'd just rather die. So I hope that y'all can get what I got, because it's free. The grace of God has no measure, and it falls on all of us evenly. Here's the good news. God doesn't make too hard a terms for those who seek Him. So whatever you're seeking, seek it. It's there. It's so simple. It ain't got to be profound. I know I can say some pretty profound redneck stuff up in here. But I say a lot of things for effect so I can get your attention. So that I can testify that when I worked the steps, my life changed. And every time I take a look at leases and the drive and the things that bought me, my life changes. And the world's not going to change to suit me. But I've been reborn because of this work and because of the things that I'm willing to do today. Hell, I ate a mango last week, huh? ain't no sour cream, but I'll eat some. I'm willing to do some things different today, man. I'm willing to look at things from different angles. I'm willing to take a chance. I'm willing to trust God. See, here's the key. Here's the key to having an experience with God. And I'll close with this. If you really want an experience with God, if you really want to experience God, there's one thing you have to do. You just got to trust Him. That's it. But you got to do the work to get to that place. So I'm glad to be here. And I hope that anything I might have said that sounded tragic and we laughed at, that's what it's supposed to look like. And I hope that y'all had a good time, because I had a blast doing it. Thanks for letting me be a part of this gift.